This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Sean Carney with us on the program. Sean is campaign director for 40 Days for Life, which is a national pro-life campaign to end abortion through prayer, fasting, and peaceful vigil. He is a regular media spokesperson and has been featured on Fox News, The O'Reilly Factor, USA Today, and Focus on the Family. Sean is a sought-after pro-life speaker at events across the nation, and he is the author of the book 40 Days for Life, Discover What God Has Done, Imagine What He Can Do. And Sean is with us today to talk about the 40 Days for Life campaign and more generally the increasing number of young people in our culture who identify as pro-life. Sean, welcome to the program. We're so glad to have you with us on Family Policy Matters.
Well, I'm glad to be on. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're so grateful for the work that you do, Sean, and for 40 Days for Life and all that it entails and all that it stands for. Tell us, as we begin, and for the benefit of our listeners who may not be familiar with 40 Days for Life, talk a little bit about 40 Days for Life and how this national campaign began.
Absolutely. Well, 40 Days for Life started locally in College Station, Texas, a college town where Texas A&M is. And it was in 2004. We just saw our local abortion numbers going up. And so we decided to spend an hour in prayer, just asking God what we could possibly do to help get those numbers down. And 40 days just came to us. And we decided to do 40 days of prayer and fasting, 40 days of community outreach, and 40 days of a nonstop peaceful vigil outside of our local Planned Parenthood abortion facility. That was the first ever 40 Days for Life campaign. It was in the fall of 2004, and it helped drop local abortion numbers by 28%. And believe it or not, other cities started inquiring about how we did this 40 Days for Life campaign for the first time. And our tipping point was we had helped a group in Seattle do a 40 days and then a group in Green Bay, Wisconsin. But it wasn't until we got a phone call from the leader in Charlotte, North Carolina, saying they had just completed a 40 Days for Life campaign without ever even letting us know they were doing it. It was awesome, and they just got the information off our website. So we decided to launch this as a nationally coordinated effort, and it was really the Charlotte, North Carolina campaign and Catherine Hearn who inspired that. And it's been beautiful to see now 40 Days for Life since 2007 has gone from one community in Texas to 579 cities in over 30 countries.
Wow, well, that is great. And what a neat testimony and a nice tie to North Carolina. Now, Sean, just speaking about you personally, you started out, as I understand it, as a volunteer with 40 Days for Life. I imagine there are some listeners that can relate to your story and certainly the stories of others who've been involved in 40 Days for Life. Talk a little bit about your involvement, how you got started with 40 Days for Life. What led you to have a heart for the pro-life movement?
Well, it was really in middle school and high school is where I got started at a very young age. I went to a wonderful Catholic school in East Texas, and so we always heard about the sanctity of human life, and I just got really convicted. But I grew up in a relatively small town for Texas, and we didn't have an abortion facility. Abortion was something you talk about or see on the news or during political debates. It was foreign. But with my freshman year at Texas A&M, I was asked by my then girlfriend, she's now my wife, to go out and to peacefully pray at a local Planned Parenthood. And I was volunteering for a local organization called the Coalition for Life. And then that organization ended up hiring me. And that's when we started 40 Days for Life in the fall of 2004. And then I had the joy of serving as the director of that local pro-life organization for 6 years. But the seed of my pro-life passion was, you know, in the seventh or eighth grade, I heard post-abortive women share their testimonies. I heard a former worker, Carol Everett, share her testimony at a very large Baptist church in my hometown. And this is very, very powerful. We all at one point have had our hearts broken on abortion. And that's really the epitome of the heart of a 40 Days for Life campaign is letting God work with those broken hearts our own, and then also those that abortion continues to break every single day in our nation.
Well, that's a great calling that God put on you, and we're certainly grateful that you followed that because it has made such a difference. Now, talk a little bit about 40 Days for Life. What makes it unique compared to some of the other pro-life movements or campaigns in which some of our listeners may have heard about or even been involved with? What sets it apart?
That's a great question, and I think, when we look at the rapid growth of pregnancy resource centers across the country, particularly there in North Carolina, and I think their rapid growth really explains the rapid growth of 40 Days for Life, which is that people want to be able to do something for the abortions that are happening where they live. They know they can't control, for better or for worse, what goes on in Washington, D.C., but they can control what goes on in their own town. And when we see that this is about hearts and minds of young women and young men considering abortion in our own schools, in our own churches, in our own communities, that really hits home, and it sort of empowers us to do something about it. And that really explains the growth. I mean, the heroes of 40 Days for Life are the local leaders. These are more often than not volunteers, stay-at-home moms or pastors or retired military colonels. I mean, we've got everybody leading 40 Days for Life campaigns, and they're leading it locally, which is where the abortion industry is the weakest. They're very powerful politically, but they are weak at the local level. And I think that the pregnancy centers spreading throughout the country, 40 Days for Life exploding around the world, I think these are good signs for the future generations to be able to focus locally.
Well, and that's great because there's always something that individuals can do to get involved and have an impact in their communities. Now, Sean, 40 Days for Life has had a major impact since it first began. Talk a little bit about the lives that have been saved from abortion, as well as the impact on abortion clinic workers, things that we see in the statistics that are so positive that come out as a result of 40 Days for Life.
Absolutely. I mean, we know of 10,336 moms that have chosen life for their babies at the very last moment. We've had over 400 during this full 40 Days for Life campaign. There are 307 cities right now participating. And tomorrow, we're going to send out a beautiful email that really speaks to what you're talking about, and that is seeing our fruit and not seeing our fruit of when we're out there. You know, sometimes you may feel like you're wasting your time. You have to overcome a lot of fear to go out and pray in an abortion facility. We've had over 650,000 people participate and go to vigils over the last 8 years. And it's hard. It's difficult. And yet, in the email tomorrow, we're featuring all the stories talk about moms who, during this campaign, have seen people out in front of their local abortion facilities, and they've taken their children who are 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. They've taken them out to the vigil and thanked the people for being out there and then informing them that they drove into this facility 2, 3, 4 years ago, saw them, and could not go in, and that their little boy or little girl is a result of those people's courageous sacrifice to go out and to pray. And so, you know, we don't always see the fruit. And frankly, it's not up to us. We just show up, and then God does the rest.
Well, and I share that same message as we are working down in the state legislature lobbying. You know, the most important thing that someone can do initially is to just show up, to be available, and then let God work through that availability. It can have such a profound impact on somebody's life, even if you don't say a word. And that's one of the great things about 40 Days for Life is many of the activities just call individuals to go out and stand in a peaceful and loving way to share a message of God's truth and His love, and He can use that to have, a profound impact on folks. Now, Sean, I understand that not only have you seen wonderful circumstances like those that you've described, but also we've actually seen some abortion clinics close down, really as a result of 40 Days for Life campaigns. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, first off, your listeners should know there have been record numbers of abortion facilities closing the last couple of years. There were 87 that closed in 2013 throughout America, and an additional 79 in 2014 last year. So the closures are phenomenal. We've seen 64 abortion facilities close their doors after multiple 40 Days for Life campaigns outside of them and go out of business, not ones that close and relocate, but ones that have actually gone out of business. Mm-hmm. And that is just so encouraging because the former Planned Parenthood workers tell us that the no-show rate for an abortion appointment can go as high as 75% when people are out there praying. And that just really speaks to the powerful impact that, like you just said, showing up is so much of it. And we've seen some of those abortion facility workers have a change of heart and lose their jobs. We've had 118 of them have a change of heart and leave their job. And that really speaks to the reality that this is about hearts and minds. We cannot be cold or cynical when it comes to this issue. We need to trust that this really is about hearts and minds. The conversion rate is only headed in one direction. It's people who, for some reason, supported abortion rights at some point in their life, and now they are pro-life, including those who have worked in this industry.
And speaking of hearts and minds, one of the exciting things to see is the number of young people that are involved in 40 Days for Life campaigns and also those who are embracing the pro-life movement in general. National surveys show that more young people today are pro-life than ever before. What have you seen as far as young people's involvement and engagement in 40 Days for Life? And how does it compare to the young people that you see on the other side of the abortion issue that consider themselves to be, say, pro-choice or supportive of abortion? Do you see the same level of excitement or motivation among young people who are pro-life?
Not at all. Not at all. And it is a great point. I believe that the pro-choice activist movement is essentially dead. I wrote an article about that recently. And the reason for that is because they have lost so much steam. They've also put so many of their eggs in political baskets. And as a result, you know, science and technology over the last 40 years have shown us who we're aborting. And they've shown us the beauty that goes on inside the womb. And so who's going to go take to the streets or stand up, you know, at a city council meeting and defend that? The videos that have come out over the last few months certainly haven't helped, as Planned Parenthood's brand is at an all-time low. And so you have this sort of, quote, pro-choice movement that's old and unmotivated. They're not active. The pro-life movement is active, and it's getting younger by the day. When I go to the March for Life, I feel old, and I'm 33 years old. And, you know, there's a lot of strollers, a lot of high school buses, a lot of college buses, and that's very, very encouraging. We've certainly seen that, as you pointed out, in 40 Days for Life campaign, the enthusiasm that the youth have, because, you know, young people, they want to do something special in their lives. They want to stand for something. And abortion is about life and death for the pro-life movement. It's not if you're pro-choice. They're also, to make the obvious point, they could have been aborted and if they're born after 1973. And so there's this awkward relationship that your life was somehow, you know, okay with society. And so, you know, your mother made the responsible decision by having you, but if your circumstances would have been different, she could have been just as responsible for aborting you. And young people reject that mentality. It's so anti-family and it's so anti-culture. And so I think that young people are turning away from that because they see the reality of life in the womb. And the only way to justify abortion these days for the other side is to completely deny all truths claimed by science and all truths claimed by religion. And to reject those two institutions in order to support abortion is not something most people are willing to do publicly.
Well, I completely agree with you on that. Unfortunately, we're just about out of time, but I do want to make sure that they check out your website and look at the resources that you have available. And that's 40daysforlife.com, the number 40daysforlife.com. And Sean Carney, with that, I want to thank you so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters, and especially for your dedication to defending the unborn through 40 Days for Life.
Thank you. Keep up the great work.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800. or visit our website at ncfamily.org.